book of Titus. You know, it's a small little book. Not, I don't hear too many people speak. They go to it, but it got some very, very good verses in it. And, you know, Titus, he was a Greek. And we find that in Galatians 2. I'll turn and read. You don't have to turn there. In Galatians, if I can get there. Galatians 2, and I'll read 1 through 3. Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. You know, this is where Paul went up to, they had a conference in Jerusalem, and he went up to him, and Peter was there, and, you know, and I can't remember, some others was there, you know, saying that the Jews need to be the Gentiles need to be circumcised and had to obey the law of Moses and all that. And Paul and Peter went up and had a big conference there. And Titus was there also, you know, and says he was a Greek, you know, so he was not a Jew. He was a Greek. And let's see. And he was also an apostle. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. So kind of give you a little history of who, exactly who he was. But, and let's read verse 23. 2 Corinthians 8:23. Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you, or our brethren be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. Now look this word messenger up, you know, in the Strong's Concordance, and it says another word for that is apostle. So he was apostle. He was one of the apostles of the churches, the seven churches, you know. So we see that he you know, that Titus was an apostle. One of the seven churches. He was an evangelist and an overseer, which we'll see, having charge over the assemblies in Crete. We'll read that here in just a little bit. And the word good, I counted, occurs 11 times in this letter. It's what I counted. I looked in a Strong's Concordance and counted how many times the word good is. And so good works is the keynote. You know, he talks about our good works. And let's read verses 1 through 4. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. To Titus, my own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now here Paul he's a servant of God, you know, he's an apostle, you know, he took the, he's the one he's an apostle to the church, you know, and he took the gospel to the Gentiles and brought the Gentiles in. But in verse 2 it says, in hope of eternal life. Now I looked this word hope up because when I think of hope, I says, well, I hope I do this or I hope I get this or something. You know, this. And so I looked it up in the Strong Concordance and it means expectation or confidence. Our confidence is in eternal life, you know. We have confidence that we have eternal life. And Paul talks about eternal life quite a bit. And in fact, even in the New Testament, eternal life is, I counted 31 times it's mentioned. So if it's mentioned 31 times, that's probably pretty important. You know, You know, and it's even mentioned twice in this little letter. This is, the letter's only three chapters long, and it's mentioned twice in here. But, you know, a lot of people, they don't believe in eternal life. And why? I have no idea. You know, I think they want to do something. It's what I can do. It's the way I understand it. But, you know, eternal life, anywhere I saw eternal life, I see no conditions. You know, there's no conditions put upon eternal life. Only man puts conditions on it. You know, because they want to do something, is the way I look at it. But, and in Ephesians 1 and 1 through 4, he says, we're in Christ. And it was before the foundations of the world. In verses 1 through 4, I forgot. Yeah. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. You know, he has chosen us before the foundations of the world. You know, all this. And I hear people, or I have heard preachers speak that, you know, God was taken by surprise in the Garden of Eden, you know. Well, we know that's not true. You know, because he already had this plan up before the foundations of the world, before he even made the world. And let's turn to 1 John 5. First John 5 and read 11 and 12. Let's see. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So here we see, you know, eternal life is in Christ. We get eternal life. You know, this is a promise that God gave us, you know, in Christ. Eternal life is in Christ. If you're a believer, you have eternal life. You know, and when we receive Christ, we receive eternal life. And and in Peter, in John 6:68, Peter said, "Thou hast the words of eternal life." That's what he said to Christ. You know, thou hast the word, the proclamation of eternal life is entrusted to Paul. You know, this teaching of everlasting life or eternal life was entrusted to Paul as his chief advocate after Christ's ascension. You know, after Christ's ascension, he gave this message to give to the Gentiles. Yeah. Let's read verses 5 through 9 of our chapter 1 in Titus. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and obtain elders in every city as I have appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accursed of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless, as a steward of God, not self-willing, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word, the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainslayer. And here we see that, you know, Paul left Titus in Crete to set the churches there in order, to ordain elders and bishops, you know, and set them in order. Let's see here. And, you know, and here it tells, you know, we've read this in other epistles of what a bishop and an elder should be. You know, they should be blameless, not soon to anger, you know. You know, a lot of people don't qualify for that one, not soon to anger. Some of them get pretty upset pretty often. And, let's see. And Paul always, Paul's always emphasized the Word of God, and especially the gospel committed. Sound doctrine is called helpful teaching. If ever helpful teaching was needed, it is today, you know. And here they have, you know, a lot of these, many of these churches, and they don't have too many elders. Let's go to verse 10. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouth must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. One of them themselves, even a prophet of their own, said the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies. This witness is true. Paul said that is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work and reprobate. So here we see, you know, that you know, now he has mentioned this in other epistles too, you know, watch out for false teachers, you know, and that is why he left Titus in Crete, you know, to go to the places and preach the word, you know, to tell them about, you know, tell them what the truth really is. And, you know, and he said, these mouths, these false teachers and all, they need to be stopped. And well, we got a lot of them today. You know, I hear some of them, they talk. Boy, they're good speakers. They're good talkers. And they don't say nothing. They don't say anything. I listened to them for 15 minutes, and he never said anything about the word. But, you know, and he said the Cretans are liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. And he said this is true. This is the way they are. And unfortunately, that's the way a lot of these churches are today. And he says they should show the love of the truth. You know, a pastor has to show the love of the truth. And even the people in the assembly, you know, should show the love of the truth, you know. And if they have, but for the ones who deliberately, you know, with their eyes open, go against the word of God and destroy his people, you know, it's going to be, you know, they're going to pay for it, you know. Some of them are even Christians, you know, that do that. You know, they're not going to lose their salvation, but they will lose their reward. You know, and that's a shame. I've heard some preachers that said, you know, or people that preached said they didn't know Christ. You know, heard one guy say, you know, he never mentioned the word Christ in his. Yeah, that's possible. now, you know, but yeah, and remember, you know, judgment begins in the house of God, and primarily with the shepherds and the stewards, you know. And here, you know, we hear the word of God, you know. We don't hear some big long speech about nothing. You know, we hear the word of God here, and I am real thankful for this church that we can hear the word of God, and we read from the Bible. You know, that's about all I had. It was short.